The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 416 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter. Appreciate all the feedback there. Anything we talk about over the course of the next 30, 40 minutes, feel free to chime in, whether you agree, disagree. All comments are welcome on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Great way for you to interact with the podcast. A lot of stories to get to. The Thunder got a big win at home over the Spurs. The Cavaliers swept the Hawks. Much more on the NBA playoffs coming up. Sam Bradford's back in the city of brotherly love. Fans weren't showing him any love in Philadelphia over the last 2 weeks while he was MIA. My take on that story is on the way. Nyquist won the 142nd Kentucky Derby. Nyquist is a perfect 8 for 8. Could we have another Triple Crown winner on our hands like American Pharoah a year ago? I hope your Derby wagers were better than mine because I won. Hold on. Let me get out the calculator here. Carry the 1, multiply by 2. I got zilch. All right. 0 times 0 is 0. Zippo, zilch, nada, nothing from the Kentucky Derby. The NHL needs to fix its playoff format ASAP. I will explain coming up. All of that here on episode number 416 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're with you each and every Monday here on The Grizz. Fast-paced, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. We're going to start with some hoops. You know, you judge star players, regardless of sport, basketball, baseball, football, hockey, doesn't matter. You judge stars by what they do in a big spot, right? Well, Oklahoma City absolutely needed to beat San Antonio Sunday night. Period. End of story. You can't lose at home and fall down 3-1 to a veteran team like the San Antonio Spurs. OKC had to win this game if they want to win the series. And look at what Kevin Durant did with his mom in attendance on Mother's Day. KD tied his career high. How about 41 big ones? 41 points, 29 coming in the second half. He shot 10 for 13 from the field in the second half. He poured in 17 points in the fourth quarter alone. And get this, Durant outscored the Spurs' entire team in the fourth quarter, 17-16. Now that is a primetime performance. That's what a true superstar does in a big spot. The Thunder won the game 111-97. They were down 10 after a quarter, down 8 at the break. This is one of those games, if you just see the final score and you think, oh, it wasn't a close game, Oklahoma City won by 14, you'd be wrong. Much, much tighter game than the final score shows. And in the second half, they just caught on fire. OKC shot 50% for the game. And let's keep in mind here, they're doing that against the number one defensive club in the NBA, San Antonio. KD, 14 of 25 overall. The Thunder won that fourth quarter 34-16. They more than doubled up San Antonio in the fourth. As for Russell Westbrook, he had another awful shooting night. 5 for 18, 14 points. Now, I love the 15 assists. That shows that he's getting other people involved instead of just coming down and jacking up shots. But man, he just is not an efficient player. He has these games where he's taking a ton of shots and not producing. The same was true in game number 3, and you have to watch the turnovers when it comes to Westbrook as well. Deion Waiters gave them a third score, and that's important with this team. I think most nights you can count on Durant and Westbrook to give you some production offensively, but who's going to be that third guy? You know, back in the day, you had a James Harden. Well, the bearded one is now in Houston. Waiters had 17 off the bench in 29 minutes. The big man for Oklahoma City, Steven Adams, also played very well. 16 points and 11 rebounds out of him. And now we've got ourselves a good series here. If it would have gone to 3-1 Spurs, it is over. But 2-2, now we start over again. Best of three to decide who's going to the Western Finals. Tony Parker was terrific for San Antonio. He had 22 points in this game, 10 of 16 shooting. The little guy still has it. And he's a very clever player. You know, even when he gets into the lane and he's among the giants there, he's got that teardrop shot that I think every guard needs, that little floater to get over the shot blocker. He's got really good footwork for a point guard. So you can't put this on Tony Parker. Tim Duncan, wow, a night he would like to forget. 4 fouls, no points. He only played 12 minutes. That's it. And they've changed things in San Antonio. I mean, if you're just paying attention now in the playoffs, it may be a surprise to you. But people who have watched this team know it's no longer really about Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker. Although, as I said, Parker played really, really well last night. This team is Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge's team. Now, they combined for 41. No answer for Kevin Durant, though. 41 points on San Antonio is remarkable because they guard. You know, if you're going to play for Greg Popovich, you're going to have to play some defense. We know everybody loves to score. That's the fun part of the game. We all love putting up points, making buckets. Not everyone loves playing defense. Not everyone is willing to give maximum effort on that side of the court, and the Spurs have. And that's one reason why they've been so consistent. A key stat in this series is turnovers. Oklahoma City had 12. San Antonio had 12 in Game 4. So that was a wash. Usually, you expect the Spurs to win in that category. They did not in game number 4. How awesome, by the way, is the crowd in Oklahoma City? I know I've pointed this out before. Those fans do a tremendous job. I don't know that they get enough credit nationally. I mean, that is a terrific fan base there in OKC. They rock that place. Game 5 will be back at San Antonio, and that is set for Tuesday. Looking forward to that one. The Cavaliers polished off the Hawks 100-99 Sunday for a 4-game sweep. Some spring cleaning by the Cavaliers. Cleveland's just too good. I mean, plain and simple. We don't really need to get into an in-depth conversation here on the X's and O's. Cleveland is better. Better personnel. And in the NBA, stars win. Atlanta has a nice squad. You know, don't get me wrong. Millsap, Teague, although he was on the bench at the end of this game, they went with Schroeder instead. Horford's a nice player. Bazemore, Korver can knock down a 3-ball. But they don't have enough to beat Cleveland. Atlanta was very competitive in the series. Still could not even take one game, just like last year. The Hawks had fourth quarter leads in 3 of the 4 games this year, but could never seal the deal. And the big three's healthy. That's a huge difference from a year ago. And the scary part is how well they are shooting the rock. Nearly 51% from downtown for the series. I mean, you're better than 50% from 3 in 4 games. You don't think of Cleveland as one of those teams like a Golden State that's just going to bury you from deep. Heck, game 3, even Channing Frye got into the act. How many of you thought that Channing Frye was going to score 27 in a game in this series? And he did. Game 4, it was the Kevin Love show. He knocked down 8 threes. He had 27 points, 13 rebounds as well. LeBron almost had a triple-double. 21 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. He had some big buckets late. Kyrie Irving added 21 and 8 assists. And as I've said forever, the Cavs are going to the NBA Finals. Nobody in the East is on their level. Miami, Toronto, doesn't matter who wins that series. Nobody in the Eastern Conference is going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Plus, both Miami and Toronto lost their big guys to injury. Whiteside is out. Valanciunas is out. With Whiteside, you're talking about a premier shot blocker. With Valanciunas for the Raptors, you're talking about a premier guy on the glass. Big time, high volume rebounder. Those are significant injuries. The question is, can Cleveland beat whoever comes out of the West? And you can respond on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Golden State's going to beat Portland. You'll have Golden State, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City. And they are all really, really good teams. And that's why the West is so much better. Jim Morrison of The Doors once said, the West is the best. And you kids out there, Google The Doors. All right, good band. And Clippers, hey, if they were healthy, I mean, they were just devastated by injuries, but they're healthy. You have Blake Griffin, you have Chris Paul. That's a really good team, too. So the Western Conference, much, much better. I don't know that Cleveland can win it all, but they're going to get to the final. We know that. This is episode 416 of the Sport Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv with you every Monday. Show is free in the podcast section of iTunes. Please keep the 5-star reviews coming there. And again, you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Today's show is brought to you by iHome. iHome has a new WeatherTough line of Bluetooth speakers. They are waterproof. They are rust-proof, and I'm not done yet. They are military-standard shock-proof. It can hold up to anything, from Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers. iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. iHome is also the number one brand in digital speakers. They offer a full line of headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru in your family or the traveler. And lots of people are going to start traveling. You get into the spring and then the summer, or just for hanging out and relaxing. If you need some new headphones or earbuds, iHomeAudio.com is the place to go. You can look at all their products and their apps, accessories on the website, iHomeAudio.com. The sound quality cannot be beat. Back on episode 416, let's talk some football here. Sam Bradford rejoined the Eagles after 2 weeks off. The quarterback rescinded his trade demand, and he did report to the NovaCare Complex today in Philadelphia. That's their practice facility. Bradford issued a statement this morning saying, quote, "I'm excited to be back on the field today with my teammates and coaches. The business side of football is sometimes a necessary consideration. My attention and efforts are focused on the participation in and preparation for a championship season. I'm committed to my teammates and the Eagles organization for nothing less," end quote. Now, the holdout started after the Eagles made a blockbuster trade to get up to number 2. And, you know, they told everybody, we're taking a quarterback. They got Carson Wentz, big kid out of North Dakota State. That happened less than 2 months after the Eagles signed Bradford to a 2-year, $35 million contract. His agent, Tom Condon, had indicated that Bradford was going to miss all of the voluntary workouts and the OTAs, those are organized team activities, up until minicamp in June, which is mandatory. But now he's back, and Condon says his client is committed to playing for the Eagles in 2016 and fulfilling his contract. All the time that Bradford missed was voluntary under the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement. Head coach Doug Peterson has said that Bradford is going to be the starter in 2016. Nothing's changed there, even since they drafted Wentz. Peterson is putting in a new offense. Of course, Chip Kelly is out. Doug Peterson. In Peterson, a former quarterback of the Eagles. Bradford's 28 years old, started 14 games for the Birds after being acquired in a trade last offseason with the Rams. 7-7 in his starts this past season. Completed 65%, which is actually really, really good for him. I'll get into that in a second. 3,700 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 14 interceptions last year. I live about an hour from Philadelphia. The radio station I work at carries the Philadelphia Eagles. We've carried their games for a long, long time. I'll be honest, I am sick and tired of talking and hearing about Sam Bradford. I really am. It's been nonstop around here. A former Redskins quarterback, Joe Theismann, weighed in over the weekend, and he ripped Bradford big time. T.O. called him a coward. I'm not going to go that far, but Bradford looked really bad over the last 2 weeks. He was getting destroyed by Eagles fans on talk radio. Number one, who the heck is Sam Bradford to demand a trade and sit out? I mean, really, he is the definition of an average quarterback. That's what he is. His career quarterback rating is 81. His career completion percentage is 60%. He's had a lot of trouble staying healthy. We know about that. And he throws too many interceptions. On top of that, here's his career record as a starting quarterback. 25-37-1. 12 games under 500 as a starting quarterback. And I understand that the Rams teams that he was on weren't great. But Bradford was the number one overall pick in 2010. Number one overall. He hasn't come close to living up to those expectations. Is he terrible? No, I'm not going to say that. Is he elite? Far from it. He's just okay. There's no wow factor. There's no pizzazz. He's okay. And he has made a boatload of cash in his brief career. His nickname should be Fort Knox. I don't know if he even has a nickname. It should be Fort Knox. He got $22 million guaranteed in the latest contract, the two-year deal. I get that he's frustrated that the Eagles traded up to grab Wentz. But hey, that's life. Tough. Stuff happens. You got to suck it up and move on. When Donovan McNabb was in Philadelphia, they drafted Kevin Cobb. I mean, you just got to keep playing. When Kurt Warner was with the Giants, they acquired Eli Manning. I mean, there are plenty of examples of teams drafting a quarterback when they already have a veteran starting quarterback. The NFL is a business. How many times do we hear that? Pro sports is a business. And Sam Bradford and his agent, they should know that. Should know better. Instead, they decided to whine and moan and groan and pout, demand a trade. And all that happened was Bradford ended up looking like a spoiled baby. That's it. They didn't accomplish anything. The Eagles had said all along that he's the starting quarterback. Vice President Howie Roseman, head coach Doug Peterson, they said that repeatedly. He was going to be the starter. So Bradford should be thinking, if I play really well this year, more teams are going to be interested in me. The Eagles are going to turn the keys to the car over to Wentz next season. We all know that. The writing is on the wall. We know that. But he could have been out of Philadelphia next season, got a new deal somewhere else, and been the number one guy. Obviously, he didn't have much interest in the offseason because he's the one who agreed to just a two-year deal with Philadelphia. It's not like he got a 4 or 5 year deal. He got 2 years. Again, I'm not really sure who Sam Bradford thinks he is, but he's not that good. Two teams that were looking for a quarterback were the Broncos and Jets. Well, they got quarterbacks in the draft. Denver moved up, got Paxton Lynch from Memphis. The Jets went with Christian Hackenberg from Penn State. So Bradford lost two potential suitors there. And the Eagles weren't just going to give him away. I mean, I don't blame them there. Bradford signed the deal this spring. He's under contract. He did not have any leverage. His agent tried to make a power play from a powerless position. Not a good equation. Not real smart. So now he's back in Philadelphia. He's practicing again. And frankly, I'm ready to move on. tired of hearing about this for the past 2 weeks. It's been all Sam Bradford 24/7 around here. So he's back now. We march on. This is episode 416 of the Sports Report podcast. You can find me in the podcast section of iTunes and, of course, on grizzlyproductions.tv. All right, let's get to horse racing, something I really do like. More than 167,000 were in attendance for the 142nd Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. That's the second largest crowd ever. A total of $124.7 million was bet on the Derby. I won a total of zero. Goose egg. Wagering was actually down 10% from last year's record. This was not a good race for me. You know, I like to play the ponies, but I don't bet the favorites very often. Two reasons. Very simple. Number one, they don't pay. Number two, they only win about a third of the time in horse racing. So unless you have really, really deep pockets, if you are a whale, a big-time gambler, and you can put a ton on a 2-to-1 shot, you know, then you can win some money. But for the average Joe, a 2-to-1, 3-to-1 horse, you're not winning a whole heck of a lot. This is the fourth consecutive year, by the way, that the favorite has won the Kentucky Derby. Nyquist held off a hard-charging Exaggerator by 1.25 lengths. Gunrunner was third. Mohamen was fourth. They were each 4.5 lengths back. Mohamen was my pick to win, and my picks were made on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Mohamen was 5-for-5, one reason I liked him, before the Florida Derby, and he finished a disappointing fourth in that race, but that was on a wet track. So I was hoping a return to form here. No such luck. I had two trifecta tickets that I split with a buddy of mine, and we had two of the top three finishers, but not all three on one ticket. If we could combine the two, we would have won. Can't do it. You know, I look for value. This Derby was all about the chalk. The favorites came in. Exaggerator was the second choice. Gunrunner was around 10-to-1. This is the horse that won the Louisiana Derby. None of the long shots came in, which means a bad payday. A $2 exacta only paid $30. A $2 trifecta only paid $173. That is the lowest ever at the Kentucky Derby. And a $1 superfecta, the top four horses, paid $542. I mean, that is brutal. 2 years ago, just to give you a perspective, the exacta paid $340, the trifecta paid $3,400, and the super paid about $7,700. That was in 2014. This year, you hit the exacta, you got $30. I mean, what, that's going to cover, you know, your gas to drive to the OTW to place the bet? Oh, man, maybe get you some Mickey D's on the way home. Two of the value horses that I liked were Mo Tom and Sudden Breaking News. They came in 8th and 5th, respectively. I also liked Bob Baffert's horse, Some More Spirit, with Gary Stevens on board. You got 7 Kentucky Derby wins between those two. He finished 10th, 14.5 lengths back. This was a horse that was no worse than second in any of its other races. I'm still not sure that Nyquist is a super horse here. You know, I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer. I know he's 8-for-8. 5 of those 8 wins are grade 1 victories. Those are the top of the line horse races. You can have a grade 2 race, grade 3 race. A grade 1 is the best of the best. He never seems to blow away the field. He keeps winning by 1 or 2 or 3 lengths. I also don't believe that this is a great group of contenders, not close to the group that we had last year. But hey, who am I to argue with perfection? And Nyquist is perfect. 8-for-8 heading to the Preakness in Baltimore, the Charm City. That'll be on May 21st. So credit to trainer Doug O'Neill and jockey Mario Gutierrez. You know, they teamed up a few years ago with a horse named I'll Have Another. I love that name. And that horse won the Kentucky Derby and also won the Preakness. We'll see if Nyquist can go a step farther. First things first, though, is the Preakness coming up in a couple weeks. A gun runner looked in good shape, but faded to third. Exaggerator, the Santa Anita Derby winner, really came on late to get second. The trainer is Keith DeSormo, and his brother Kent is the jockey. All in the family there with Exaggerator. But in the end, Nyquist was the best in the field of 20. He's now won $4.9 million. And he's not done yet. We'll see who comes back or who skips the Preakness and waits for the Belmont. That's always interesting to see there. Some owners don't want their horse going again in just 2 weeks' time. They'd rather rest him for the Belmont, which is the longest leg of the Triple Crown. My luck has to be better in the Preakness. Has to be better. Because you can't get any lower than winning nothing. They don't pay you for close. This is episode 416 of the Sports Report. What'd you think of the Derby? Do you think Nyquist can get it done like American Pharoah? First Triple Crown winner since the late 70s. That was a lot of fun last year. New shows every Monday. Show is free in the podcast section of iTunes. And again on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv. I'm on Twitter, at the Sports RPT. Always looking for new followers there. All right, finally to hockey here, and here's something that's been bugging me for a while, but I haven't had time to get into it, and maybe you can help me out. What is up with the NHL's playoff format? What is that league doing? We've got Pittsburgh versus Washington in a conference semifinal, Dallas versus St. Louis in a semifinal. Those should be the conference finals. Not semis. Which two teams had the most points in the Eastern Conference? I'll tell you. Washington and Pittsburgh. Which two teams had the most points in the Western Conference? Answer, Dallas and St. Louis. Yet, they're facing each other now instead of in the conference finals. And that to me is just stupid. The NHL's format is confusing to everyone who's not a diehard hockey fan. And I even know a guy at work who is a huge hockey fan, and he didn't even realize the format. What they do, the top team in each division gets to play a wild card team in the first round of the playoffs. And then the second and third place teams from within each division play each other in the first round. Why can't the NHL just see teams 1 through 8 like the NBA does? Simple, short and sweet. Even I understand that. It doesn't seem too difficult. Hello, Gary Bettman. Can somebody get the commissioner on line one? Paging Gary Bettman. I mean, this is an easy fix. Instead, your best teams could continue to play each other in the conference semifinals, and that's just dumb. The Washington-Pittsburgh winner, and the Penguins are up 3-2 in that series, the winner there is going to get Tampa Bay in the conference finals. And no disrespect to the Lightning, but that clearly doesn't have the same buzz as a Washington-Pittsburgh conference final. And there's a lot of star power there. In the West, Nashville had 96 points. San Jose had 98. They're playing each other now. Meanwhile, Dallas and St. Louis are going at it. Dallas had 109 points. St. Louis had 107. I mean, this makes zero sense. Dallas-St. Louis should be the conference final, not the semi. Then again, this isn't the only thing that doesn't make sense in the National Hockey League. This is why I call it pinball on ice. Few other reasons. You can move up in the standings with a loss. Yes, it's true. You can lose and move up in the standings. If you lose in overtime, you still get a point. So you get rewarded for losing. You get a point. You also get an assist for shooting the puck. I don't comprehend this. If you shoot and you miss and someone puts in the rebound, you get an assist. You didn't pass the puck. You shot the puck. At no time were you passing the puck. You were shooting the puck. Yet you get credit for an assist? Huh? Either you're shooting or you're passing. One or the other. And there can be two assists on a goal. What? One isn't enough? I mean, how many assists would John Stockton and Magic Johnson have had in the NBA with rules like this? By the way, can referees still call tripping and diving on the same play? I mean, how ridiculous is that? Tripping and diving on the same play. Either guy was tripped or he's faking it, he's diving. But both in the same play? Some of the mysteries, my friends, of hockey, a.k.a. pinball on ice. Seriously, though, the playoff format has to go. They got to change this. Just seed the teams 1 through 8 based on points and be done with it. You can weigh in on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Maybe you hockey fans disagree. Maybe I'm a buffoon when it comes to the NHL, but I hate this format. I mean, the series we're getting now in the semis, they should be the conference finals. Let me know what you think on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I'm really looking for a good answer to that. I will be back next Monday. By the way, I mentioned that Kevin Durant's mom was in attendance yesterday. Mother's Day was on Sunday. I cannot thank my mom enough. I have never met anyone who does more for more people than my mom. If there truly are angels on earth, my mom is one of them. And I think back to when I was a kid, and I have a twin brother, and I have a sister who's 1 year older. So my parents had to deal with 3 kids 1 year apart, almost to the day. That's right. And we all played sports throughout the year. So think about all the practices they're driving us to, all the games that they're coming to. You know, it's just crazy. You don't really appreciate when you're a high school kid or you're in junior high. You just kind of take it for granted. But then you get older and you have a job and your time's precious. You're working crazy hours. You think back, wow. How were they able to do it? 3 kids in 1 year. So happy Mother's Day once again to my mom. Get to spend time with her and my family and my relatives yesterday. That was a lot of fun outside of Philadelphia. So happy Mother's Day to my mom. I'm a little biased, I'll admit, but I think she's the best. And all of the moms out there. And hopefully you didn't go cheap on the gift and the card. Hopefully you got something nice because they deserve it. I may not know anything about horse racing, but I do know that. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you again on Monday. This has been episode number 416 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.